Good morning here on the Mighty 690. I'm Matt Jordan here on this Monday morning after a 4th of July holiday, and it is the 9 o'clock hour, 9:10 on a Monday. It means Fry Bread Journeys here. And Chris, we've got a special guest in studio this morning.
We do. So, CO everybody, this is our first episode for the month of July. And Wado to Stenjati for allowing us to use the song Greasy Fry Bread as our opener. And, of course, to our sponsors, Smilin' Charlie Crane, Native American Fellowship Incorporated, the Cooperative Credit Union, and Cherokee Nation. So you're correct, Matt. This morning we have a special guest from the Cherokee Nation Tribal Council. We have a return visit from at-large tribal counselor and speaker of the council, Johnny Jack Kidwell. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. I feel like I've been here, this might be the fourth
time, I think.
Yeah, man.
We like having you up here.
Love coming back. Love chatting about all things Cherokee, on res and at large. Yeah. I love it.
Well, James is going to be real. He took a day to kind of do family stuff or whatever, and I get it. But he's going to be disappointed that he missed this because he just thinks... Johnny, he likes questions.
Oh,
and I think he wanted one. He was like, we could just do a whole half hour about Coast Guard stories and things like that.
We've got stories.
So I don't know if he could tell them all on air, but so you and I talked text message and we're planning on this. And I said, what do you want to talk about? And I got tickled. He said, we're going to free flow it. I'm like, that's cool, because there's lots of stuff to talk about.
There's always something to chat about.
And speaking of the Coast Guard thing, because what did you say? Whatever floats your boat, I got tickled. I said, I see what you did there. That's a little retired Coast Guard joke. I got it.
Keep that linkage there.
There you go. So I guess I'm going to start out. What did you do for 4th of July?
Well, we went to my hometown, Spavinaw, America, the big metropolis of Spavinaw. I know you know where that is. And of course, I grew up there, and my dad still lives there, and I've got uncles and all kinds of other folks that, family members that live there. We went, and we had a fish fry. My dad cooked a little fish for us, crappie and some catfish, and we ate way too much, and then went downtown and watched the parade, and... then, of course, went over to the baseball field there and got ready to watch some fireworks. And we did that as quick as we could before the storms came rolling in. So it was a great day down there.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful day. We played on the 3rd, Friday the 3rd, played in a golf tournament. We used to play, my father's been gone for 15 years now, but we would play as a family, my brother and his wife, my husband and myself, my mom and dad, and my uncle who lives in Tulsa. And we haven't had dad around for 15 years. And my mother is 82 now, and she doesn't really play very much, but my brother wanted to try to get the band back together. And mom agreed. And she came and putted. We used three or four of her putts, so it was worth it. And we tied for first place.
There you go.
We had a good time. We had a really good time. And then on the 4th, we went over to my brother's and swam in their pool for a while and just hung out.
That sounds like a pretty good day.
It really was. The worst part about 4th of July is our dogs do not like the fireworks.
Yeah, I don't know many dogs that do. I think it was last year we had a... we were in Spavinaw, and we did the fireworks. And after the fireworks, we went back home to my father's house, and a Great Pyrenees dog ran into the house.
Oh, gosh.
And this was a...
big.
This is a huge dog, and we couldn't... We didn't really know what to do. He was scared of the fireworks, of course, but then he found him a spot in the living room, and there he sat, honestly, for about 2 hours.
Oh, my.
Until we figured out what we're going to do. Nice dog.
Just
gentle,
scared.
Let everybody pet him. Just didn't really want to go back outside.
No. I said, I'm going to make sure and buy whatever medication I need, and the dogs get sleepy cheese. They're going to get some kind of little treat, and it's going to put them out, because it was about 3 of the worst nights of sleep I ever had, because they were doing it. They started the first.
Sure. Okay.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And one dog weighs 60 pounds and the other weighs 50.
Yeah.
And they... kept getting closer and closer and laying up next to us. It was horrible.
Right. But, well, if you'll allow me while I'm on the topic of Spavinaw and fireworks, we Mayor Miller down there in Spavinaw, they put together a big wall of heroes for Spavinaw. Just a lot of the names on there that had helped Spavinaw or been a part of its success or helped grow it from early on. I happened to be on that wall. My dad was on that wall, Jack Kidwell. My uncle, Johnny Kidwell, and of course my grandpa, Johnny J. Kidwell. We had a lot of my stepmother, Patsy Kidwell. We're many Kidwell family members were on that wall. I'm proud to say that they honored us in that way. And we were just not us. There was many names on there of families and personnel, people who have impacted Spavinaw in one way or another, helped build and help grow the town. So a shout out to them down there for putting that together. That was a great event.
A good veterans salute.
It was.
Which just reminds me. So at the CCO conference, I have something for you.
Uh-oh.
You brought me a hat that you had. If you don't know, Counselor Kidwell is retired from the Coast Guard, a veteran, and we appreciate his service. But it was the most amazing hat. So I sent it to a friend of mine.
Oh,
And
you got that.
Loretta Burgess.
Wow.
There's also a loaf of banana nut bread in here for you.
Oh.
But
we love banana nut bread. Amazing.
Oh, she beaded
the
brim.
Very nice.
I was going to say. She did it. It's a beautiful hat, and people who are watching, you'll be able to see it. You can kind of hold it up towards
great.
There.
Look at that.
And
look at
Loretta.
That.
Loretta lives in Okmulgee, and she does fantastic beadwork. She's also a very talented basket, and she actually comes. You can see her and probably purchase some of her stuff. She's going to be at NAFI on September 26th, last Saturday in September, when we have the Unity Gathering.
Wow!
And so hopefully you'll be there, and then you can see her and
that is amazing.
Say, but she was honored to do it. She said. Very
and
happy to do that for
that
a veteran.
That is great. Thank you so
You're welcome.
Much for
Thank
this.
You.
I truly appreciate
it. It worked out
that.
Perfect. I got it on Friday.
Oh, did you
it
really?
It came back on Friday, and I said, oh, this is going to work out good.
Oh, that's amazing.
This is
going
to work out wonderful.
I love it.
And then you've got your obligatory loaf of bread there from Mr.
Man,
Crane.
We like banana bread.
Well, and I told Matt I came early because our the motor on our blower for our air conditioner went out at like 2 o'clock this morning.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. And I went, Lieber Brothers is across the street. And so I thought, I'll stop in there and talk to him. And my husband said, take a loaf of that bread for Tim. Maybe we're not above bribing. And tell him that you'll get him some ribs if they can get this
right,
fixed. So
right.
We're doing what you need to do.
Yeah. Well, Not, we won't use the term quid pro quo.
No.
It's nice to be helpful when we can
That's
be helpful.
Right. That's right.
Yes,
so,
ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that's coming up is what... When's the 9th? Thursday? Thursday is the 9th.
Thursday's the 9th, yeah.
The hospital is going to, they're having the ribbon cutting.
The grand opening of the new hospital there in Tahlequah. Oh, that'll be an amazing event. We've actually on Tuesday, tomorrow evening, we have kind of the elected official, kind of first walk through.
Yeah.
And we get to go see everything that's going on because, unfortunately, the grand opening for the hospital is on the same time as Intertribal Council of the Five Civilized Tribes.
Okay.
That's in Tulsa at the River Spirit this year. So there'll be some counselors, and obviously in Tahlequah and some in ITC, but we're able all to get down. That's great.
Divide and conquer.
We do our best to try to get to as much as we can. But that will be a great, great grand opening. There'll be a lot of great speakers there and people get to kind of walk through and see that 400,000 square foot facility and all the great things that are going to be going on there.
So, Matt, your dad is an administrator over at Salina?
Yes.
So is he going to head over to...
I just texted him to ask if he was going to be there or not. So
I would imagine they'd want to get as many of them over. I wish I could get there. But
I bet there'll be more people than we have seats for them.
Well, I will
I'm
tell
guessing.
You, I did see something on Facebook, Cherokee Nation. They were asking, they were trying to get people kind of, I don't know what you call them, like a guide to help seat people and everything.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big event. So they were going to hire people to come in, Cherokee citizens
I'm
to
sure,
help.
I'm sure Gadoogie summer kids.
Oh,
I'm sure they'll be using a lot of those volunteers to help get and people in the right
places.
I told
you that we had Sean Crittenden with those Gadoogee Summer Kids on last Monday.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks before that, we had Kevin Easley.
Yep.
He had never been on the radio.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known it. He did great.
Oh,
but he had
he
some great
well.
Things to say about you.
Did he?
Well, you act surprised.
Well, yeah, no. I'm not surprised.
He talked about what a good mentor you were and how much he's learned. Because he was actually really interesting because I said, you know, I've never asked you about it. What exactly is the job of the Speaker of the Council and the Deputy Speaker? And he explained it pretty well.
I'm sure he did.
Well, it made me think about you. Oh, it was a long time ago. I first met you at the Methodist Church in Lawrence. You had gone to the Kansas City at large group and you were speaking. And I had come up, it's been several years ago, my husband and I had come up to pick up school supplies. Mm-hmm. They were our sister community at NAFI. And I remember talking to you, or you were kind of giving your speech and was talking about how come the at large don't get as good of medical benefits. And I remember you put it pretty clearly, and if I'm kind of paraphrasing here, it was basically those that don't live on res, that's where the casino money, that's where a lot of the casino money goes towards health care that we're able to do for at-large. The only way we can help the ones, I mean, you're kind of limited what you can do.
Right, right. But our business revenue.
Yes, revenue, yes.
I mean, not just casinos, by the
way.
I mean, we're... our C&B is... You know, it's
but it really made sense, though. They explained it very clearly, because when you live on res, that's where you're getting the money that we have money in place from the U.S.
federal
government.
Yeah.
And that can
trust
only, but it can only be spent on those living
on
reservation.
Land. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense to me now. So, but it was also, hey, go out there to the casino and.
Spin.
Give
go
back
play.
To the tribe,
go
man.
Play. go help us out. But I would be remiss in my duties. You know, Kevin Easley is Deputy Speaker Easley. He has been a godsend to the council as well. I mean, he's his input is vital. He says the right things at the right times. Mm-hmm. His leadership is right on point when it comes to helping steer the council in different directions and get us through. You know, obviously we have a council attorney.
Yeah.
But you know, having Kevin Easley on there and his background and his knowledge and his contacts and his ability to understand situations and apply them to. You know, things that happen on res and off. He's a well-traveled individual. So, you know, he and his family, it's great to have that connection to the council, you know, for us. Mm-hmm. And the work that he does in his district and for the council itself as deputy speaker is immense.
But his explanation of the things that you do as a speaker and deputy speaker, I just never really realized. You guys have a lot of extra responsibilities that you have to take care of.
We do. You know, I look at it kind of being more as a coordinator than as a speaker.
Yeah.
You know, I don't consider myself to be the boss of anyone.
No.
That's just not the way that it's set up. You know, we're all individuals. We all have a vote. We all get to, but, you know, the speaker gets to, you know, tries to focus on different directions on which the council might move in any particular issue or any particular program. And one thing I've never done as speaker is, and that's hold anything from being on an agenda. You know, I don't believe that's the right way to lead. And I think that, you know, the Cherokees, you know, historically, traditionally, we've always governed by consensus. And that's the way we do that on the council. I make sure everybody has a say.
Well, one of the things Kevin brought up, which it's very impressive. You are the Speaker of the Council, and it's the first time an at-large counselor has been chosen as
the
Speaker of the Council.
This is true, yes.
And why do you think that is, that they've never done this before, just because they were an at-large counsel? I mean, you're active. You are very, very active.
I think, you know, there's always been, historically, a slight, call it a rift, call it a separation, call it what you want to call it there. But there's always kind of been this thing between at-large counselors and those on the reservation. And some of that is rightful,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that never should have been the case.
No.
A lot of the funding that comes to the council is distributed mainly through the district counselors,
yes.
Whether that be different types of housing or roads or law enforcement. The at-large councils, we do not receive those funds because those funds are considered like a pass-through. So the federal government gives us those. Hey, you have to spend these on the reservation land. Well, I don't have any constituents that are on reservation land, so I don't expect to receive those funds.
No.
So a lion's share of those funds, rightfully so, go through the council. However, it's important to note that and I think my colleague, Dr. Julia Coates, who's the other at-large counselor who lives in California, she said it very well. When it comes to elections and votes, the at-large counselors have never varied greatly from those votes that were cast by district counselors. I look at my job. Yes, yeah, I want to advance programs that impact at my constituency. That's 360,000 at-large citizens. I also very, very, very well understand that there's only so much that we can do because we have to utilize our own money, our own revenue to enhance the lives of at-large citizens. And there's only so much of that revenue to go around. Whereas the money that we get from the federal government, we do no harm to those programs. One thing and you've heard me say this before, when I talk about expanding benefits and resources to at-large citizens, I do that under the premise of, the underpinning of, do no harm to the reservation.
That's right.
Right? I will never vote for anything that enhances the lives of at-large citizens while degrading the lives of those that live on the reservation.
Yep.
Right? That's not how we do things. That's not how we look at things. And we'll never, I wouldn't even want something like that to be on the agenda for us at any given day. So it's important to me that, and especially as being the speaker and also being, representing those of the at-large, I think I bring a different outlook possibly to the position. Now we would be I live in Tulsa, right? It's easier for me to get to meetings than say even Councilwoman Patskowski, who lives further away from meetings than I do. So some folks would say, well, we don't want an at-large counselor because they don't get to the meetings. Well, I don't live in California. I don't live in Dallas. I live closer to many of the things going on than some of the counselors that we have, as we're spread across the 14 counties. So, many of the old arguments against an at-large counselor being speaker is kind of overcome if you live close and you remain active.
Exactly.
And I try to do both. And I try to remain active, and I also try to spread things around. There's no reason for voters in constituents in District 10 to hear from Johnny Jack Kidwell if Melvina Shot Pouch is there and able to speak to them. Those are her constituents, right? Her citizens.
I agree.
Now there are some things that that I want to be at and speak at and participate
support.
In.
But support the other counselors.
But I think being at those, but allowing those other counselors to be prominent in their districts is important.
That's pretty good. And with that, we're going to go to our quick commercial break.
We'll
and we're going to be back and talk more with Councillor Kidwell.
Right.
All right. We'll be back here on the Mighty 690. back here on the Mighty 690. Matt Jordan here with you with Chris Crane and Johnny Jack Kidwell here on the Mighty 690. We've got Fried Bread Journeys here, and we've been talking for a bit. We got more to talk about here. Chris,
yeah.
back over to you.
So we've been talking with our at-large counselor and speaker of the council, Johnny Jack Kidwell, and we were just talking about the at-large stuff. And so I saw that we have July 18th, Estes Park, Colorado, and the 19th is Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah,
great.
I used to live in Albuquerque.
Oh, did you really?
I was a
great
kid,
meetings. The meeting in Colorado is always phenomenal.
Yep.
It's always well attended. Albuquerque the same way. I mean, Albuquerque. There's a lot of great, great Cherokees in Albuquerque, and obviously up in the Denver, Colorado area, and then later on, toward the end of this month, I think the first weekend in August, we go to both Seattle and Portland.
And my daughter is in Seattle.
Yeah, good.
And actually, last year she went, and she texted me, and I told her I was telling her to find. She never found you. She found Chief, and she found Deputy Chief Warner, and got her picture taken with him, and sent me the picture.
Oh man,
well,
I get my picture.
I know.
This time.
Well, but I have a picture that my cousin Hilda from San Francisco sent of you, the two of you.
Oh,
she
yeah?
met you. Yes, she had been here in October, and then you guys were out in California, and she got her picture and sent it to me.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Yeah, I had to name drop," meaning me, which we laughed, but. It was funny because when I told Katie, I said, "You find those three people and you tell them you're my daughter."
That's right.
And she was like, "Yeah, right. What? They'll know you."
Yep.
And I said, "They will."
You
and I said, "If anything, they will. They do know. They have great memories." And that's what she said. And she said, "My mom says you know me." And she said, Chief asked, "Oh, well, who's your mother?" And she said, "Well, she's over at South Coffeyville." And Deputy Chief said, "Oh my gosh." He goes, "You do look like your mom." So it was kind of cute. But.
Well, I will say this. You know, we just had the CCO Leaders Conference not too long ago. And, you know, that's always a great time.
It was wonderful.
To bring people in back here to the Hard Rock and then on to Tahlequah and do different things. And I was able, we have that Thursday night kind of meet and greet for at-large. Folks that come back in, and I've said this before, I'll say it here today. You know, there is no group of people that are more proud to be Cherokee than that. Now there are many that are as proud.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
no,
they're more than others, but you won't find a group of people than our CCO folks. At large, who are more proud of their Cherokee heritage and participating and being part of it, and it's just amazing. I mean, I really do. At this point, you know, being 5 years in, they're family members at this point. I mean, I was talking to two at the Orange County Cherokees group just yesterday, and calling you know, a good friend of mine, Ed Carey, who was going through some health problems and had a fall, and we were, you know, we were calling him on the phone and talking to him and making sure he's got the things he need, and like we said before, when we can be helpful, let's be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
When we can provide assistance, we'll provide assistance. And you know, those just all across the nation, just some amazing people.
It is amazing. And the CCO, I've been at the conference probably 4 or 5 years now, and you always meet new people. And you make new friends. We had so much fun. Some of the Orange County ladies sat with us at our table. We had a couple of good Doogie summer
probably
kids.
Nancy, I think, was there.
I think so.
Yeah, she sat with you.
We had people from NAFI, but then we had other people, and the Pocahontas women were over here to the side. And you're going to see everybody know WIDA women, and you see all these people, but we made a lot of new friends. And it was just, of course, you know, we're very proud of the Kansas City group. That is our NAFI's sister community, and they really work. Melissa, they work really
Melissa,
hard. They're always doing
all of
stuff.
Them up there. They do great. And a shout out to Savannah Smith.
Oh my
gosh! You know,
gosh.
The director over there at CCO. Man, she has just done an amazing job.
It's a lot, you know, and you know that they're already working for next year. They're already working. Savannah, Vince,
getting
Brad,
it planned out.
Tammy, they're all Pam. I mean, I love the fact that there's those little craft things you can do. We got worried. They didn't really advertise it. And we were like, what are they doing? Are they going to? Because I enjoy going in, meeting other people and learning a craft.
Yeah.
And just, it's a little downtime and you can sit in there. And Pam Bakke does a really great job with that.
Pam's amazing. My boys, they ask about Pam on a daily basis, it seems. Man, she has made just the times that they've been at conferences and meetings, and they've got been able to interact with Pam and do whatever little little art thing that she's doing. It sticks in their mind, and they really enjoy it, and they ask about her very often.
Well, I saw the boys. I saw you had the boys at the conference.
Bring them around.
We feel very lucky. CCO, they are very good to their different the different community organizations. Vince came up. We generally have our meeting in potluck on the second Thursday of the month, and Vince actually came up and kind of did a little demonstration on a hog fry.
Ah, good.
And we ended up having a nice hog fry.
Yeah, he's a good man.
He is a good man.
He does a great job.
We appreciate Savannah and all of her staff. So, yeah. Well, I am going to get up here and talk about, if you're a regular visitor to our Fry Bread Journeys Facebook page, you saw the July giveaway is a one-of-a-kind custom ball cap with the Fry Bread Journey logo. It's been donated courtesy of Reeves Custom Wood out of South Coffeyville. John and Mary Reeves are members of NAFI and are generous donors to NAFI. To be entered in the drawing, which will be the next episode on July 20th, go to the Facebook page, follow, like, comment with an emoji or picture of a hat, and finally share it to your own page because we're looking to get more followers. I've already had folks drop me a line to find out where they can purchase their own hat. So you can contact jmreeves10@gmail.com. They're $25 each. He does other things too, but he made this special, and I ended up buying one for Mr. Crane. They will customize for anything. And I'm also giving out information. Somebody wanted to know about the Fry Bread Journey t-shirts. Are you wearing yours?
I have worn mine. Yes.
To purchase one of those, www.focalpointgraphics.net. And you type Fry Bread Journeys into the search bar, and the various colors and pricing are on there. And that's Brendan Murdoch, and they do a great job. So before we leave, we want to thank the sponsors for the show. Smilin' Charlie Crane, and he's a provider of delectable food to both KGGF staff and guests of the show, as Counselor Kidwell will tell you from the bread. Native American Fellowship Incorporated. Their mission is to support our Native American community by strengthening their identity through culture, education, and social services in the area. The Cooperative Credit Union, located at 313 West 9th Street. They've been an active and vital part of the Coffeyville community since 1937. They welcome everyone to join and become a member because CCU is where you belong. And finally, Cherokee Nation. With more than 470,000 citizens, Cherokee Nation is the largest federally recognized tribe in the United States. They are committed to protect our inherent sovereignty, preserving and promoting Cherokee culture, language, values, and improving the quality of life for the next seven generations of Cherokees. And finally, we want to thank our today's special guest, Cherokee Nation At-Large Tribal Counselor Johnny Kidwell. It is always a pleasure.
Thank you, ma'am.
To have you here.
I enjoy coming up.
It just never seems like there's enough time. So you need to kind of put together a few Coast Guard stories for us that are...
A few sea stories, okay?
Sea stories.
I'll
next
get them worked
time.
Out. I'll and, get them worked out.
Oh, and if you've got some kind of song or what, my niece is in the Navy right now.
Okay.
She is on active duty. She's over where we really don't want anybody to be right now.
I understand.
And she's on a nuclear missile destroyer.
Wow.
And she got to cross the equator and became a shellback.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why they're called that.
I'm sure that was a interesting ceremony.
She said it was. She said they had him crawling through fish heads
I've
and everything.
Been there. I've
and
been
I was
there.
Like,
sent
some
one.
Pictures. I was like, wow, okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was a pretty good deal. But she's very proud of her service. And, I mean, she actually, I think, passed her next test. So they're already looking for the next billeting, I guess, that
sure,
she
yeah,
would,
like,
and she, what she's going to try to next
good.
Position. So, but anyway, thank you. We will hopefully have you come on here soon.
Happy to do so.
Okay.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet. That's it, Matt.
All right. This has been Fry Bread Journeys here on this Monday. Chris will be back on the 20th. And that's when the winner of the hat will be announced,
yes,
right?
Yes, it will be.
All right. And apparently might be making some type of...
We're going to do
some
food.
Some type of food.
Yeah, we're making some kind of food.
So, All right. We look forward to that coming up on July 20th. This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.